I'll take your Bibles and turn to Genesis 9:18. Got kind of an overlap. We'll be looking at in Genesis 9, the latter part of that. We'll finish up the last lesson and then go into our new lesson, but it also starts with the same passage because we're dealing with the beginning of the nations. So in 9:18, and the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be a husbandman and planted a vineyard, and he drunk of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent, and Ham the father of Canaan saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from the wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. The spreading of the fleece. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for all the blessings that You give us in Christ Jesus, and for Your mercies that are everlasting, and for Your plan that You planned before the foundation of the world, O Lord, to deliver us. And we just thank Thee for it and praise Thee and ask Your blessings upon the services tonight, that everything be done in decent and order to Thy honor and glory, that in all things we might think upon Thee and Thy Son Jesus Christ. We just pray that You'd have mercy upon each one here according to their needs. And we do pray for the upcoming meeting, that You bless each speaker with the things that we have need of. And just thank Thee in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Yeah. Noah's drunkenness and Ham's disrespect. Noah got drunk. This is some people talk about they got saved. Well, and we know that's not the way it is, but he got drunk. He done it on his own. He didn't need any help. And by the law, unruly children was to be put to death. This our son is stubborn, rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. Deuteronomy 21:20. But we know this is Noah's one lapse. He wasn't a drunkard, but he did get drunk. And the gluttony and drunkenness in the scriptures often go together because it's the lust of appetite. And usually a lot of people are given to both, to food and drink. We are to avoid the company of drunkards, and especially when they say they are believers, in 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, those that will not inherit the kingdom, in 1 Corinthians 16, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And again, this is not talking about somebody just got, as Noah did, got drunk one time and that was it. It's talking about those who we would label as drunkards. And in 1 Corinthians 6:11, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." After they were saved, the things in their past didn't count. And so they came new creatures in Christ Jesus. They had been drunkards. They had been these things and effeminates, as it mentions that we didn't read. They had all been these things. There's not anybody beyond the power of Christ to save. And so we find that Christians can be from all walks of life. Anyway, we all wickedness, sinfulness, and murders can be saved, and so on and so forth. And after they were saved, the things of the past didn't count. And I'm glad that they don't. that Jesus Christ's blood washes us clean, and we stand before God Almighty justified. And we stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, so therefore those things we've done in the past just doesn't count at all, whatever we might have been. I know a few preachers, but I think most of them have passed on, that they were drunkards before God saved them. Brother Clyde used to talk about it every now and then, and he was in the Army, and he retired out of the Army, and but he was just a drunkard. He said he was just a sot. And the Lord saved him, and that delivered him from that. So these are some of these things we once were. The words here doesn't mean that the accidental viewing of his father's nakedness, but a willful viewing. And the sin of Ham was that it made fun of his dad's drunkenness and nakedness to his brothers. And so that was his sin. And in their day, this was a serious breach to look upon either one of your parents' nakedness. It just wasn't done. And we think to some people they would call the things we do maybe being prudes or something, but they was even more so back then than we are now. Some, it seems too strict. It is part of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20 and 12, and in Ephesians 6, 1 and 3, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may go and be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And so it says the first commandment with promise. This is to honor your parents. This is a lifelong thing. It's not something that say, well, I turned 18, got out of the house, and so I don't have to honor my parents anymore. It's a lifelong thing. That we'd honor our parents, and of course, some of us, our parents have passed on, but nonetheless, there is respect and honor that's due their name, because we are their children, and children should grow up and make their households, but the admonition to honor parents is never dismissed. Ham compounded his father's sin by his wickedness, which warns us to be careful how we speak about our parents. I know sometimes in haste and anger sometimes we say things that we shouldn't have, and especially teenagers might be inclined to do that. But as we get older, we should be able to control ourselves and not speak evil. And some say, well, if you had the parents I had, and sometimes it is that people's had wicked parents, and but nonetheless, we're to honor them as much as we can. We don't lie for them, of course, but we honor them as much as they can. In verse 23, Shem and Japheth were grown and had their households, yet in their covering of him, they honored Noah, their father, even in his drunken sinfulness. One commentator speaks of the reverence they showed Noah in how they covered his nakedness, being careful not to look on his nakedness. And again, in their day, this was a serious thing, that you didn't look upon the patriarchs. You just didn't do it. And they had no visual picture of Noah's sin in his lowest hour. 24:27, the curse of Ham came on his son Canaan. Thereby, it was the curse of Ham, but his grandson, Noah's grandson in particular, is one that's mentioned. Did Noah get off scot-free? No, he had to curse his grandson. Some act like when these men in the Scripture had to put a curse on their own children, or say kick their children out of something, they just done it and there were no problems. But let me say, if you've had children and grandchildren, you know that's not the way it is. When it speaks of God giving his only begotten son, we think, well, that's God and so on and so forth. But it's touching the emotional in us that we would know how it would be for us if we had to send our child to die for evil, wicked people. It would just, we'd say, don't do it. I mean, and so this is the point I'm making is that this is serious. what he has had to do. And some says he done it in anger, but let me tell you, God doesn't bless unrighteous curse. I mean, the curse was from God, and he is a preacher and prophet, that is, Noah was. What was the curse? Color of his skin? No, but the servitude, servant of servants, the lowest of the low, they would be the servants of Shem and Japheth. And though some think that Ham and the sons of Ham did not suffer because of this sin, however, later when Noah blesses his son, he did not bless Ham. And so the blessings that he would have received, and we know in the scripture, like Moses when he blessed his, and and Moses when he blessed his, these were prophecies. These are not just the blessings, but these are prophecies. And part of the blessing is the passing on of the messianic line. And so there was the point I'm making is that these things are serious, especially as we see in the Old Testament, because they were. It's not like a father saying, well, you know, one of us would say to our children some kind of thing like that. Well, it would be just foolishness. But when they said it, they said it because they was God's men at God's time, and they were the patriarchs over the family, and God gave it to them to say. And though some think that Ham and his sons of Ham did not suffer, as we mentioned already, in verses 28 and 29, Noah, in the last recorded person who lived past 900 years, 950, and he died. And after him, lifespan decreased to Abraham, 175, Genesis 25:7, and kept declining to Moses, who lived to be 120, and many have lived to be 110. Clement lived to be 116 years old. February 24th, 1875 to August 4th, 1997. That's the longest verified lifespan in modern times. And but 110 is, there's more people that hits run 110 than I ever even. I mean, it's not a bunch of people, but it's more. I didn't think anybody's living past 103 or something, you know. For but nonetheless, there's some that lives longer. The above is taken out of a group that believes that God set the limit of man's lifespan to 120 years in Genesis 6, but God was speaking of the time that he gave the people of the world to repent in that 120 years. And I put these dates in there just to show that it was not until almost a century later that we didn't have anybody going beyond 120 years. So God is control, of course, in control of all that. We note it was several years after the flood. The people exceeded 120 years lifespan. Shem lived 600 years. Eber 464. Aaron 123. And then Joshua, who lived only 110. After the flood, the Tower of Babel, 100 years after the flood, Abraham, 185, Joshua, 940 years after the flood. Note the numbers differ greatly between the old earth and young earth followers. These are the young earth numbers. And some of them have some ages just unbelievable. I mean, just that's all I can say. But these are from the scripture, so we know that it was their lifespan. Then in our lesson, our lesson for tonight, lesson 15, beginning of the nations, after the flood, we have the forming of nations and governments. Formerly there was the patriarchal system in lesson 10, which endured for a time after the flood. But however, this system was diluted by the forming of governments. The government, not a patriarch, control at the task concerning the decisions concerning those that were under their rule, just like in the United States. Russia has their own rulers, and so this is at the time this started, and And their punishment, according to the law, the kinsman redeemer, although we see it in Ruth and practice pretty much in the Old Testament, at least among the Jews, this system was being turned over to where governments, as we see in the Romans, 13th chapter, where they bear the sword not in vain, that capital punishment was given over to the government for them to do. And, of course, many, like our government, for the most part, don't execute anybody for the crime that God says they're supposed to be executed for. The word, the world, nations, and governments started forming after the flood. Nimrod, the son of Ham and of Cush, began his government in Mesopotamia, and the suggested location is the central southern area of Mesopotamia, to be somewhere around where Babylon was, and so the is located between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. And Nimrod planned his idolatrous worship and desired to rule over all the people of the earth. And when he built the tower, that was one of the purposes for it. We'll get it in chapter 11. But was to keep everybody together, and they would worship the sun, the moon, and so on and so forth from this tower. It's to reach up in the heavens. And somebody said, well, I couldn't have got one to reach up, as some people imagine he's talking about. Now, let me say to you, right above us is the first heaven. And then where the sun and the moon, not the moon, but where the sun, well, moon too, but where the sun and all the other planets is, that's the second heaven. And where God's throne is, that's the third heaven. And so anything that raises off the ground, you say, is raised up into the heavens. So I know there's a tower there, and they give dimensions of it and so on and so forth, that but whether it's the same as it was in their day, I don't know. And so in our lesson, we'll look at Genesis 9, connected with the forming of governments and slavery. And I hope to cover a little of the curse dealing with slavery related to Ham and slavery leading up into America. We touched a little on other aspects or we'll touch a little on the other aspects at the, that was at the end of this last chapter. The lesson is in preparation for Genesis 11. All this is leading up to the chapter 11. Beginning of the nation, from the three sons of Noah came all the nations of the world. And you have that chart. I try to make a smaller chart. This one here I can read. The other one I couldn't read when I squashed it down. I couldn't read the names. And some of these names, you need to be able to see them to know what they are. And but nonetheless, so that's the reason I put it on that size of paper. But this makes it, I think, a little simpler, because you can see Noah and the three sons and then their descendants that are laid out. And so from the sons of Noah came all the nations and all the world today, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Genesis 9, 18 through 19. Before the flood, they overspread the world from Adam to Noah. And so from Adam's day, they started out afresh. And, of course, in the beginning of the world, there was just one. Then there was two, Adam and Eve. And then from Adam and Eve came the, all the population of their day that overspread the earth. And in our day, it came from Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And so there's a little different. There's three families there instead of just one. And before the, they all spoke the same language as Adam. Some believe this will be the language in glory. I don't know that. But that's, I just put that in there because there's speculation about that. But that's one of those things. God just speaks of a new language, but it doesn't. If it's a new language, then it never has been spoken before. After the flood, six people, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and their wives, set the set what mankind would be until the end. Our DNA changes started with Adam and Eve, changed by the fall, and then limited in Noah's day. All the humanity's DNA comes from Noah's sons and their wives. Now, we don't know what the other people were before the flood. We don't know what kind of people they were, but this is the only line that survived. And so this is the DNA that we have. Each son would have their particular traits that combine with characteristics of their wives to their children. And we know all this, except for identical twins. Each child has particular traits of their own. You can usually tell one child from another. If they're identical, you can't, by looking at them, you can't tell the difference. But I've seen a lot of twins. People say they're identical, and then after you get to know them, you know which one's which. So, but normally, in the siblings that differ enough, you can say, well, that's George, and that's that, and you know, so that they're distinguishable one from the other. But then they have that family trait. I could go anywhere in Davis County, Ohio, and McLean County, just about, and they say, you're Joe Kelly's boy, aren't you? And I don't know, it's something about my features. They know who my dad was. And sometimes that was embarrassing instead of a blessing, but nonetheless, this is the way it is. And so those children, even though they have the traits of their parents, there are those traits that we don't see, if you will, in their parents, that their children might be prominent in them. And then the wives that they marry, then this brings a different combination. So one is today might favor one parent or the other. DNA back to Eve. This is Newsweek. I'm not going to read that, but this is, you probably read this when it came out in 88. But it shows that, all life came from one person, and of course, that's what Genesis, what Adam named Eve, because she'd be the mother of all life, or mother of the descendants. And so they were surprised to find this out, but of course, we've known that all along. And I think it's Lindsay. He said they don't mention God one time or the Bible when they put out this pronouncement that they all come from one child, this one person, and this disrupted evolutionary theories that you had some started in Africa and some started in Asia and some started here, and they had people starting all over the world almost, maybe not that many, but this consolidated in one place, and of course they wanted to be in Africa, but we know from the scriptures around Mesopotamia, Mount Ararat, and because the Euphrates River is mentioned in the Garden of Eden, surrounding it, and so it had, we figured it's all in that space. Yes, when the flood came, it uprooted the uprooted everything, and changed the face of the earth. But I think the reason that we have particular descriptions that we'll know where the Garden of Eden once was. And so we have different rivers that run through there. Noah and the curse, Genesis 9:20-25, Noah began to be a husbandman, the man of the earth, which would seem to indicate he might have not been a farmer before the flood, but that's just speculation. He planted the vineyard, he grew the grapes, and or he took the vines that grew, whichever way it was, and made wine out of it, and so he got intoxicated. And you don't have to read very much in the scriptures that you'll find this is one thing that God's really against, is gluttony and intoxication. There's some times in the book of Proverbs that said that for certain times it might be needful, and of course as a medication. And as Paul told Timothy, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake, and that type of thing. But but as getting drunk, God's just not in that. What, no matter the reason or whatever, God's just not in that. So he is lying drunk, and all the different things the scriptures mention is by TBKC, and probably the only sin in this incident was the gazing, that is Ham, speaking evil of a dignity, that was Noah, to his two brothers. And 2 Peter 2:10 and Jude 8 speak of that. Now, the sanctity of the family was destroyed and strengthened by the father was made mockery. Ham apparently stumbled on this accidentally, but went out with, slew, and he told his two brothers as if he had triumphed over his father. And it goes on to speak of what I spoke of earlier, that in their day, this was really a no-no. You just didn't do that. You notice in some of the commandments to look upon the nakedness, and we say, well, that means something else, preacher. It does, but it also forbids the looking upon the nakedness. Now, just not in our day. I mean, some of the TV shows, almost any of them anymore, go beyond the scope of what the Scripture would call being covered. The curse prophecy is upon Canaan and not Ham, and that would be the servant and slave person. God pronounced a blessing on Shem and the Canaanites, as we mentioned before, and we notice the favorableness of God towards Shem, Lord God of Shem, that is particularly said of him. And Japheth will dwell in tents of Shem, which usually means to conquer, and the Canaanites would be their slaves. Noah lived 350 years after the flood, in total 950. Is the curse on Ham's descendants that they would be slave all slaves? All groups have been slaves one time or the other. I don't think there's any group that you can say that has not had slavery in their history. Even the Jews put their own fellows, and when they when they went into wickedness, they put their own fellow Jews under servitude, and it's supposed to have been for 7 years, but we know in the Jerusalem, when they was forced to give up their slaves, they didn't do it just for a little while, and then they forced them all back into slavery again. I believe it's in Nehemiah. And but nonetheless, this is so we can't say that one particular group, if you will, was set for slavery. Only that in the latter years of the slavery did we see just blacks being there, and there's a reason for that. From the flood, those who conquered other enslaved them as part of the spoils, and they often enslaved the poor of the people. Remember the indentured Jewish servants in the Old Testament. And so when Babylon came and took us, or some of the people away, they were slaves. Some of them was made eunuchs. And so it was not good to be conquered. That's just the penalty of it. And families were separated, and wives from husband, and children, and all that, that it didn't make any difference. Now, some were better. Some nations were better with slavery than others. They let the family unit stay together, but most of them didn't. And slavery before modern times was of all colors and nationalities. In our country, at one time, the people from Ireland, England, China, India, Africa, and there's others, were indentured slaves or slaves. And some of these were, when some of the people came from England, they brought their servants with them, or slaves with them, and these would be the poor of England, that where they couldn't pay their debts and go to debtor's prison, and while some of them be released, and the richer people would pay their whatever their debt was, and then they would become their slave. Now, sometimes the indentured slaves, after a certain length of time, they were set free. But slaves were not. For instance, Israel would be called indentured because God set a limit, set 7 years, and that they would be set free, because we know they didn't obey that. In the early years, there were slaves of all kinds, but as time went on, African slavers flooded the market with African slaves, and they became the prominent slaves and later the only slaves. And Brother Catrion I can't even think of the name of the island down there. But anyway, his parents were slaves. And they were from India, and they settled there, and that's the way that they got to Guyana. That's the way they've got there, was because of his parents, or not his parents, but his parents' parents' parents. Well, I don't know how many generations, but that's how they got there, was that they were slaves. And I believe he said they were indentured slaves. And many of them were, of what, regardless of what color they were. And so this was, when we think about Ham's curse, myth has permeated some Christians falling for the old Mormon lie that all men were white until they sinned and turned black. If they repent and turn to God, they would turn white again. And of course, this the a Mormon until this was taught in 60 something. Whenever they brought their last Bible and done all the revisions on it, when they did that, they took away the teaching that if they were saved, they would be turned white. There was an old Western, and I used to know the name of it, and I can't remember the name of it, but these two guys are talking. He said, "Yeah, Chief so-and-so, you know, he's one of us. Man, I believe he's getting whiter." And it's the first time I seen it, I didn't even know what they're talking about. But then afterwards, but this is not only taught by Mormons. There's others that teach that if they's black, it's because they sin such a wicked sin that God turned them black. And there's nowhere in the Bible that even says anything like that. And we know that all people can be saved and all people should be added to the church. A perfect-looking church would have people of all kinds in it. And so, from all indication, Adam was not white, as we think, but a reddish or mid-brown, as was probably Noah and his family. And we see white people appearing down through time, but it's like a pigment. And just like different groups have either by marriage and all the different things that they either become darker or lighter. And there's a lot of dark people like the India. From India, they're dark skinned, but they're I can't even think of the name now. But anyway, they're of the same race that we are, but they are dark skinned. And the Aborigines are different from Africans. They're nothing like that. Caucasian is what I was thinking about. Genesis 10, the table of nation, Japheth moved north, east, and west and settled Russia, Europe, and Genesis 10, 1 through 5. I think for the time, just by the time we read this, it would be time to stop. So, we'd have to look at it again next time. So, I think we'll just close early today instead of late, and you might look over that diagram and over the different ones mentioned there in our next lesson.